This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. Let me start off by saying that I hope you're able to enjoy a little time off this Labor Day weekend. There have been many difficult things that have happened over the past week, and I pray that today's program will bring you a little hope. A little later in the show, Bill Eliff will be here to share his thoughts on what God is doing in America today. Also, Sebastian Gorka shares his thoughts on the president's trip to Texas, as well as the test firing of a ballistic missile by North Korea earlier this week. But first, Hurricane Harvey has dominated the news cycle as millions of people along the Texas and Louisiana coast are cleaning up. On Tuesday of this week, David Melber, the vice president of Send Relief, a ministry outreach of the North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, joined our guest host for this week, Dr. Ronnie Floyd. Together, they talked about relief efforts that are ongoing in the greater Houston area. Here's Dr. Floyd.
David, it is awesome to have you today on the Washington Watch. Welcome in being with us today.
Hey, Ronnie, thank you so much for having us. And, you know, we're just excited to share about how Southern Baptists are not only just now being involved, but how the response even started before Hurricane Harvey hit the ground. We had our state convention and Southern Baptist disaster relief partners moving equipment and moving supplies, and things were en route in preparation for this, and we're anxiously awaiting when this rain would stop and the waters would cease rising where we can get in there and minister to the needs of just so many that are hurting.
So right now you are in the mobilization mode. I'm sure you're already helping people as much as you can, but what people don't understand fully, and I was able to go into New Orleans area right as really in the early side of Hurricane Katrina and its disaster because of various things that happened. And you know, we imagine that things immediately occur. Well, they really can't always immediately occur, can they, David? There has to be a finality of the weather for a lot of reasons, and then do what you can from there.
Yes, absolutely. And I tell you, you know, Ronnie, it's one of the most beautiful pictures of true cooperation that we see, I think, anywhere in Baptist life when we have, you know, some 47,000 churches coming together, marshaling resources collectively, and then marshaling people, not only on the front end, but being ready now, and systems are being built out now. I know we have so many churches that are eager and ready to be in there serving, and we're getting them slotted into a queue, basically, where we can begin matching needs with churches that want to be involved from all over the country to churches that have been impacted throughout this massive flood area. So it's truly a miracle how this works. The Lord is very favorable in what's going on, and I think you're going to see something take place in these coming weeks and months and even years that it's going to be obvious that the Lord did it by the way people are coming together.
Well, I've seen some of the units that you have, and it is just incredible, and what a privilege it is to be able to talk to you today. And I'm Ronnie Floyd, sitting in today for my friend Tony Perkins on the Washington Watch, and I'm talking to David Melber, who is the Vice President of Send Relief. Now, David, what I want you to do is I want you to tell people today that are listening what you are ready to do. Tell us what you foresee as soon as the rain stops, what's going to happen, and tell us about it.
Well, what is going on now, we are feeding volunteers and people in shelters in about 8 different locations currently, and we expect that number to dramatically grow up. Even today, early on today, we were looking at feeding somewhere between 150 to 200,000 meals per day, and based on the continued flooding, we think that's going to go up to as many as 350 to 400,000 meals a day. So you can imagine.
Amazing.
Southern Baptist, through partnerships with the American Red Cross, we have Baptists that will be cooking and preparing meals for nearly 500,000 people at the peak. And not only that, but we'll have people in there ministering to people in these shelters, just helping them emotionally cope with what's taking place. And then as the waters leave, we'll have our Southern Baptist Disaster Relief Volunteer Army, plus many others that will come into that greater area to help clean up these homes and help them be able to restore these homes so they can return to some kind of normalcy in life.
That is incredible, David. Well, listen, David, I want you to tell people where to go if they want to help, or a website that will tell them what you're doing. Give us a web address and so people can perhaps help you, or at least learn more about what you're doing, which is outstanding.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the number one thing we'd ask people to do is pray. Pray for the people that are impacted, and pray that we would effectively mobilize people and resources there. And if you want to be involved, if you want to have your church or your group on the queue to go in once the waters leave, you can visit our website. It stands for North American Mission Board, NAMB.net/Harvey. And you can go there, register your group, and we will have you slotted and then match with a place of service for you to move into that area once it's ready. And if you would like to give currently, you can either go to that website again, www.nam.net/Harvey, or you can simply text Send Relief to 41444.
And that is amazing. 350,000 to 400,000 meals that each one of us can be an assistance to. David Melber, you have been a blessing. Thank you. Thank all of the thousands of volunteers that are right now ready on the ground waiting for the rain to stop. People that are already helping people down there to the level. And thank you, David, also for being faithful to the gospel. Thanks for being on the Washington Watch. We're praying for you, David.
Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you.
You can find out more about Send Relief and find ways to donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back to talk about North Korea's most recent missile launch.
The Center for Medical Progress continues to release shocking videos that expose the lies and crimes of Planned Parenthood. Come to Values Voter Summit to hear from David DeLeiden, the heroic undercover journalist behind the Planned Parenthood videos, as he discusses his journey and the courage it takes to stand up for the unborn. Other invited and confirmed speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Michelle Bachmann, Franklin Graham, Dana Loesch, and many more. Register now at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. Last week, North Korea fired off another missile. This time it flew over the northern part of Japan. Joining guest host Ronnie Floyd to talk about the ramifications of such an action is former deputy advisor to President Trump, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, Dr. Gorka. What a privilege it is to have you, and we're thankful for you.
That's most kind. Thank you for having me.
You know, Dr. Gorka, what we saw and what we heard recently, even here today, and I want us to listen to the audio tape of the president greeting, receiving so well in the state of Texas. A large crowd greeted him, waving a Texas flag. And I just heard this not long ago. Perhaps you've been totally busy all day and did not know it happened, but I would like for you to listen. And I'd like for you to give a comment about the president and their response to this entire crisis there in the Texas region. Let's all listen right now, wherever you may be.
Thank you, everybody. I just want to say we love you. You are special. We're here to take care. It's going well. And I want to thank you for coming out. We're going to get you back and operating immediately. Thank you, everybody. What a crowd. What a turnout. I want to thank our governor. Your governor has done a fantastic job. Governor Abbott, thank you very much. Who's right here someplace. He's right here. So we just want to thank your governor, Senator Cruz, Senator Cornyn, everybody, Dan. We want to thank the whole group. This has been a total cooperative effort. Again, we will see you soon. I will tell you, this is historic. It's epic what happened. But you know what? It happened in Texas, and Texas can handle anything. Thank you all, folks. Thank you. Thank you.
And Gorka, before we discuss North Korea, you know, we just cannot go further without talking about the president's trip there to Texas and all that's going on. How do you feel about that as you listen to that? I mean, Tell me what's on your heart as you hear that today.
Well, it just confirms everything that I've experienced in working for President Trump since the inauguration. This is a man who loves this nation, is toe-to-toe supporting everybody, shoulder-to-shoulder, that is helping out there. He's been a great supporter of the law enforcement community, first responders. Let's take a moment to pray for the soul of Sergeant Perez, who lost his life today as a cause of the flood. This is an American who doesn't want to do what the last president did, which is to divide us based upon our skin color, our socioeconomic background, our ethnic makeup. This is a president who wants to help all Americans, whether they voted for him or not, and doesn't want to divide, but he wants to heal. That's who President Donald J. Trump is.
Well, Dr. Gorka, let me ask you this question. I'm talking to New York Times best-selling author of Defeating Jihad, Sebastian Gorka. And Dr. Gorka, do you believe this latest missile launched was intended to send a message to the United States and intimidate Japan?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt, all of these launches have the intention of intimidation, of saber-rattling, of executing some kind of nuclear blackmail against the West. This is the third launch across Japanese territory. The first previous two launches in, 98 and 2009, were not military missiles. They were payload missiles for satellites. This is the first time that a military-grade rocket has been fired over Japanese territory, and it is without doubt an escalation of the nuclear blackmail that North Korea has been perpetrating ever since the Clinton administration facilitated and encouraged that nuclear blackmail.
Well, where do you think all this is going?
Look, in the best-case scenario, China will exert the immense leverage that it has. The foreign ministry already criticized in the harshest terms the launch, calling it an escalation. China is in pole position to do something, given the fact that 90% of the imports into North Korea come from China. So best case scenario, China will assist the community of nations to make North Korea behave in ways that comport at least in the minimum standards with international requirements. But the president has been explicit. The president was explicit at the beginning of this crisis and just yesterday and today. No options have been taken off the table, and President Donald J. Trump is not a man to be tested.
And Dr. Gorka, to the average person out here in America, when we hear those words, all options are on the table, would you explain to us really what that means from where you sit, knowing what you know, and breaking that down more in lay terms where we can understand clearly what is before us?
Yeah, I don't think I really have to. The President of the United States is the most powerful man in the world. America is the most powerful nation in the world. As such, we have a whole panoply of options open to us when it comes to dealing with threats to the United States. This is not an administration that will just resort simply to democracy or give in to blackmail, as the Obama administration did with the JCPOA Iran deal or with North Korea. This is a president who understands that the true statecraft manning the tiller of state requires the capacity to use all the instruments of power together, not just diplomacy, but intelligence, economic tools, including sanctions, covert tools that are used by the intelligence community, and ultimately force when there is no other option.
Yes, and Dr. Gorka, when we look at this, and again, helping people to understand, because I have the privilege of seeing you on television sometime, and you do such a fantastic job, and I just want to commend you for that, and thank you for what you've done to serve our nation and what you're doing to serve our nation. But when we look at this, what do we need to be looking at? What are those one or two, three things as we try to navigate through this entire North Korea crisis? What are some markers we need to look at that kind of give us insights from where we sit out here as the normal American?
Well, I think that the starting place is to understand what North Korea is. There's some amazing undercover documentary films you can find for free on the internet that people who went there for charitable purposes, for medical purposes, filmed the reality that is North Korea today, and it's frightening. It's more Stalinist than the depths of the depravity of Joseph Stalin's Soviet Union. It is a nation that has taken brainwashing to the levels of mass industrial scale. It is a nation in which they have labor camps. It is a nation that cannot feed its own population because of the corruption of its leadership. So, you know, we may have won the Cold War on November the 9th, 1989, when the Berlin Wall was taken down by the East Germans and the West Germans. But there are still communist regimes. So Cuba is one of them. China is one of them. But right. North Korea is the most keenest communist regime in existence today.
Well, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, I want to thank you for being on the Washington Watch. And once again, I really meant what I said a moment ago. You have really served us so well, and I'm so thankful for you. And thank you for everything that you're doing. And so thank you for being on the Washington Watch today.
Don't mention it. God bless you and the listeners.
You can find out more about Dr. Gorka when you visit tonyperkins.com. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, helping you stay informed on the issues that matter to you. You can donate when you visit tonyperkins.com. When we come back, a look at what God is doing in America today.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. With America seemingly spinning out of control, you may wonder what God is up to these days. Well, Ronnie Floyd, who's been filling in for Tony Perkins this week, asked Pastor Bill Eliff to join him so they could bring some hope to the nation.
Pastor Eliff, Pastor Bill, my friend Bill, I want to ask you today, would you just kind of talk to the people on the broadcast today and tell them from what your perspective is of all you see going on around the country, what do you think God is saying to America?
Well, I think, Ronnie, thanks, first of all, for letting me join you here, and congratulations on this opportunity the Lord's giving you. And when I heard that, I knew that that was the right choice. I really believe God's going to use you in that. When you think about what God might be saying, that's a big question. And we better answer that question right. We better turn our hearts to Him and open the Word of God. And, you know, when you look in the Word of God and you see disasters and difficulty and conflict, in the Bible, it's explained to us. And if you would take some of these things that we're saying and drop them into the Scripture, How would we explain it? And always, so often on some of these things, it's man doing what man does, and we're pretty depraved. And our nation, you know, take Charlottesville. The reality is, I'm kind of shaking my head. I thought, you know, we should be better than this by now. We've come a long way from the civil rights movement. There are a lot of wonderful people who've worked real hard. But yet we keep regressing back, and it's just the nature of man to do that. And the Lord has something to say about that. That's, you know, right. The Lord hates bigotry and prejudice and all that goes along with that, and He judges that. I mean, He's calling us to come back. And so I think every time I see one of these things happening and difficulties and tragedies happening, I just think God is not silent. And he's communicating to us, you need me. And every time you walk away from me, things don't go good. And he longs for us. His desire for his world is that we walk in unity and we walk in the light as he is in the light. And when we walk away from that, we begin to feel the effects of that. And it's a call to us. When we see the results, it's a call to us to cry out to him and return to him. And yeah, that's where revival always comes from.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things about it is, Bill, is that I know you and I believe that it that when the Lord so chooses to bring that next great awakening to this country, the walls of denominations will fall down.
Yeah, that's right.
The walls of between racial tension or ethnic tension will be gone.
That's right.
I mean, I'm just telling you, God will bring all of that to an end. And it reminds me of something I wrote in an article today. My first article as a president of the National Day of Prayer. I'm going to be doing this every week, releasing an article. And in fact, I have another one coming out this Wednesday on nationaldayofprayer.org. And I want to encourage people to get the newsletter, because you're going to stay in tune with the prayer movement of America, because this is not a platform for me. The National Day of Prayer represents America.
That's right.
That's what it is. It belongs to America. But I will never forget, Bill, in 1995, in the midst of a 40-day fast, the Lord really put on my heart, and I wrote these words in a prayer journal, that he was one day going to bring a mighty spiritual revival to America that will transcend all denominational, cultural, racial, and ethnic lines. I believe that with all of my heart. And I don't know when that will be. I pray it will be in my generation. I pray that we get to see it. I just know that before the Lord comes again, I really believe he's going to pour out his glory and pour out the opportunity for blessing. Don't you believe that, Bill?
Absolutely. And I did a little study the other day. I was reading about John the Baptist. And if there was ever a precursor to the manifest presence of God, it was John the Baptist.
That's good.
I mean, he was preparing the highway for the clear manifest presence of God, which is what revival is.
That's right.
In spiritual awakening. I discovered, and I challenged the readers to go look at it in the Scripture, there were six or seven things that happened. God gave a word. God rose up some prophets. And a voice. People were desperate. The Bible says all the people from Judea and Jerusalem were coming out to hear John the Baptist.
Right.
And even the Roman soldiers were saying, what do we do? And the leaders were saying, what do we do? And the people were saying, what do we do? How many times have we heard that recently? What do we do in our nation? How do we solve this? That's desperation growing. And then all of a sudden that day came where John looked up and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
That's great.
And the Lord is coming. I believe he's coming in manifest power, and we're going to see it. I pray we'll see it in our lifetime. But it comes on the heels of desperate times. Every great awakening, and we've had, however you determine it, three or four of these every 50 to 60 years in American history. And it has turned the tide of the nation. It's changed the culture. It's transformed lives and institutions. And we're due. We're due.
Yeah, we oftentimes forget in America that our very spiritual heritage was shaped much by the awakenings.
Oh, yeah.
Within the first 100 years of this country, and even before the country was formed.
Absolutely. Mark Knoll, who's a professor at Notre Dame, says that the Second Great Awakening, which lasted for 30 years, 1800 to about 1830, was the single greatest shaping event in American history. Not just in a religious life, but in American history. And after that Great Awakening, thousands of churches were started, schools began, hospitals were opened, all of that. After the 1858 revival, in which one of every 30 people in America came to faith in Jesus Christ.
That's amazing.
Guess what happened 2 years later? Well, the Civil War began, and that great struggle that was a way that God intended, I believe, to finally break the back of slavery in our nation. Mm. It came on the heels of the Great Awakening. Mm. People don't realize that. Mm. So God has things to do, and it happens always in desperate times. And that's exactly where we are. So the desperation that we're seeing and the difficulty we're seeing, in some ways, to our listeners, ought to be encouraging.
Absolutely. And Bill, that's why I want you to pray for our country today. However the Lord leads you to pray. We've already prayed for the situation in Texas. We prayed for the situation, and maybe pray for however God wants you to pray. But you just pray today in this final minute or two together.
Amen. Thank you, Ronnie. Let's pray. Father, our hearts are grieved when we see what is happening in our nation. And the lives of children that are being harmed, the attitudes and decisions that are being made that are destroying people's lives and destroying families and destroying the fabric of this nation.
That's right.
And, Lord, we know that of all that we can do, and we should work hard, Lord, in legislation and all those other things, but, Father, we need you.
That's right.
Lord, only you can bring the reviving to your church and the spiritual awakening among those who don't know you that can turn the tide in this nation. And Lord, I pray that you would not pass us by. I pray, Father, that we wouldn't be so callous to you that we would not listen. And so, Father, we pray that you would raise up tens of thousands and millions of intercessors across this nation who would unite their hearts in one single cry for revival and awakening. And that's the prayer of our hearts in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
If you want to find out more about Bill Eliff, just head on over to tonyperkins.com and follow the links. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to tonyperkins.com and clicking on the donate button. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.